I'm sure last year, remember this story from the federal government that they had plans to combat online trolls. Drafted laws will hold social media companies legally responsible for defamatory posts made by users, remove offensive content, and reveal the identity of trolls to victims. But Twitter has hit back in a submission to the World First proposal, claiming anonymity allows their users to express themselves, quote, freely and safely. Now, Twitter will give evidence at the inquiry into social media and online safety, arguing that users can block or mute harassment. Now, as of December last year, Twitter had 5.8 million monthly Aussie users. And that's a lot of users here in Australia, a lot of users to keep tabs on. Nigel Fair is the Director, Enterprise Institute for Cybersecurity at the University of New South Wales, and he's on the line now. Nigel, thanks for being on the show.
Okay, Scott.
Now, first off, the federal government made a big song and dance about this announcement last year about these world-first laws about forcing Twitter to reveal who is the anonymous account holders there. What do you think about those laws, and do you think they will actually work?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Two things you never want to watch being made. One is sausages and the other one is laws. And that's pretty much it for anything in the online environment particularly. So, no, I think they're not going to work at all. I think it's a fool's paradise, a lawyer's view of the world, dare I say, a politician's view of the world. And you talked about the leading comments about bickering in politicians. To basically think we can legislate our way out of online problems. It hasn't worked in the past. We've got a raft of legislation already that's not used or underused and hasn't made any demonstrable difference. Just adding to that stack, I think, is pointless.
All right. Well, you say it hasn't worked in the past, but is that any reason to give up on trying to make it work? Surely you have to give some credit, at least for the government giving it a go.
I applaud the government for talking about it. I applaud the eSafety Commissioner as an organisation and dare I say, Julie McGrann as a person who does amazing work and is a world leader in everything they do. And we should be very proud of them as an agency. But I just don't think this is going to work in any way, shape or form. There are so many different ways you can game the system. And we there's no technical or legislative silver bullet to how we behave online. And we still haven't really looked about why is it that if I was walking down the street and I'd never met you and I didn't like you for whatever reason, I wouldn't say anything. But what empowers me supposedly online that I should flame the insides out of you for the same reason that I don't know? We've got some very big disconnects about our behaviour in the real world and the online world. And I think we need to address that through a lot of education and social norming first.
Oh, look, Nigel, I couldn't agree with you more in terms of it's extraordinary what people think they can do, not just get away with, just behave online, on social media, which should never be acceptable face-to-face or any other environment. It wouldn't be acceptable, obviously, in a workplace at all, and probably shouldn't be acceptable at a home either, but they think they can get away with it. But just in terms of what you're saying there, in terms of you think that they're not going to work, it almost sounds like, you know, what you're conceding is that these social media companies are above and beyond the law in terms of being able to control them.
Yeah, that's a really interesting comment. They're not above the law, but remembering Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they're all American companies and they don't operate under our laws. They operate under the US laws. Our data that we put on their platforms is saved in a different jurisdiction, so they don't fall under our laws. I know with this legislation, they're trying to change that and they're trying to make them store data locally and have a local office that's more than just a marketing arm. But these companies are all about keeping us fixated on their platform. So they love the controversy. They love it when there's not nirvana online because it drives people back. People get it's like the soap operas on television and all those sort of shows. People love it when there's an argument, and the social media companies, they do metrics upon metrics upon metrics. They know what works, and they love it when there's a bit of trolling and that sort of stuff going on. They could use a whole lot of their technology to start weeding some of this out, but they want people online. They want us looking at the advertisements. They want us clicking on links.
Now, I'm talking to Nigel Fair from the Institute for Cybersecurity at the University of New South Wales. Now, Nigel, I just want to go to these comments by Twitter about arguing that, that keeping users anonymous allows them to continue to express themselves freely, and it's the next part of the word, safely. Well, this is the issue, isn't it? Because this is all about trolls doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, this is about trolls using their anonymity to get away with these kind of comments. I mean, you're laughing. I laughed and then just kind of shouted at this about Twitter saying this. Why do they think they can say these kind of comments and that people will believe them?
Because they've done it in the past and they've got away with it. There's a lot of hubris in these big, big tech organisations, and they have people in every jurisdiction saying exactly the same comments and operating on the echo chamber policy. And, yeah, the only bit of credibility I'll say to the first part of that comment is if we wind it back some 10 years to the Arab Spring, and social media was a great platform for dissidents throughout the world that were up against repressive governments. And they could be anonymous and they could get information out there, and we learned a great deal.
The Arab Springs being an obvious example of that. A lot of people went online during that moment. Yes, all right. But that is a very brief moment compared to a lot of time and a lot of people abusing that anonymity to attack people.
Yep, and really, I would argue we're more anonymous walking down the street than we are online. If I tweet, they collect a whole lot of information about me. They collect all my device identity. They know what device I'm on. They know what geolocation I'm on because I allow them to have that. I allow them to give me push notifications. They know the type of person I am by the people I follow, the places I go to online, on their social media sites. They know all about who I am. So we shouldn't get sucked into that comment either about being anonymous, because we are far from anonymous online. If I choose not to put my real name to something, they still know exactly who I am and they know exactly where I am and what I've done and my pattern of behaviour.
Now, Twitter also says here in part of its submission that that people have the opportunity to block or mute harassment. Now, blocking and muting doesn't stop that harassment occurring. It occurs online. You just can't see it. But it's still out there and still being targeted at you, potentially.
Yeah, and of course you just end up playing whack-a-mole in that situation. You spend all your day blocking things. So, you know, that's an interesting argument too, because there's a number of ways to look at that, if you're not enjoying yourself on that platform, and I tell this to people regularly, if you don't enjoy yourself on a social media experience, go off it. Put the device away. Turn it off for 24 hours, put it in the drawer and go out and have a walk or go and read a book, talk to some friends, do something else and clear your head. And a lot of people are unable to do that because they're addicted to maybe the device or the platform or both. But we still need to learn to reduce our screen time and to do other things when we're not having a good experience online. And we need the ability to talk to other people, friends, family, trusted people, about that experience and how we should adapt ourselves to around that.
Nigel Fair, thanks for being on the show.
Great to chat.